This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And today we welcome our Flathead County Administrator, Pete Melnick.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Rob.
Yeah, good morning, Pete.
Good to have you here. The man who has his finger on the pulse of Flathead County.
I demoted you to a Flathead County Commissioner when I promoted that you would be here.
Oh, I appreciate it. That'd be quite the honor, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but what you got to go through to get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fact. You know, I'm watching Randy go through his election. I watched Pam go through hers. And it's something I don't have to worry about, which I'm quite grateful for.
But you are accountable, and you're doing a good job.
Thank you. Yeah, I am accountable to the public. I get emails, I get phone calls, and not everybody's is happy with decisions that are made. Some of them aren't mine. We're a nation of laws, not of people. We have to follow the law, and sometimes I point out, this is what the law says. This is what I'm required to do. Yeah. We're just following it.
Well, one of the things that has been a major, I think, improvement since you got to this position is the ability to attract and maintain your employees.
Well, thank you, John. We when I got here, it was the middle of the COVID pandemic. Yeah. We had employee vacancies throughout the county. Almost a fifth of our workforce was missing. And I was reading a lot of exit interviews that were unpleasant. And so we really took a round turn on leadership and trying to keep our employees engaged as part of the county. And that story, you know, we just won an award. We won the 2024 Employer of Choice Award, the runner-up, which isn't bad for a government. And that story arc started about 2 years ago, and we're very happy to see this sort of fruitful finish.
Yeah. Talk with us about how you achieved the success that we seem to be seeing now.
Well, I had a meeting with the commissioners, and I said, we need to really look at this and try to find some solutions here. We're not the private sector. We can't lavish people with bonuses and have these parties and giveaways and give people free time. But there again, we're a nation of laws. We're a government of laws. We have to follow the laws that govern how we manage our organization. And so we just looked at everything. We had a HR strategy meeting, and it started in 2021, and we outlined about 15 steps that we wanted to take that might help increase employee engagement and leadership opportunities for our management team. And we just, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And we just started eating that elephant and making those changes, and we've gotten some success.
Talk with us about some of those changes.
Yeah, some of the really, you know, most basic ones is we really looked at our benefits and pay. We reduced our, we made our health benefits better. We reduced premiums, lowered deductibles, added some new plans to make it more attractive to people to come in. We've increased pay about 12.5% over the past 2.5 years to better reflect the market rate. We were just, quite frankly, losing out on good people.
I remember the surveys you put out throughout the entire country to see, you know, where we stood.
That's right. And we found that we were lacking in a lot of our departments.
And you were doing a comparison with other communities our size.
Other governments in Montana, other governments nationwide, just to kind of see where we stood. The other thing that, and these are, I think, in systems, and one of these systems issues was our time to hire. So when someone put an application in to when they were onboarding was on an average of over 100 days. And we would call candidates, and by the time we got to them, they had taken another role. So I had told the department heads, we are at war. We are at war for talent. You cannot wait. If you should look at those applications every day. And if you see someone you like, talk to them, bring them in. And because of that, the departments that have adopted that have reduced their time to hire from about 109 to an average of about 30. I have people getting hired in a day or two. because some department heads act so fast. And it's been great. We've been able to fill roles.
Now, I have to admit, I was offered a job. I had a great interview, and they flew me to another city and everything. But I ended up getting a raise where I was at and promoted. And they called me about 3 months later, and I said, I didn't even know you guys were still interested. things have changed, you know.
And that happens in this market. Sure. You've got to move fast, right? And everybody that can work or should be working is working. And a lot of the folks, I meet with every person when they onboard every Monday morning. Uh-huh. And we have a conversation. I thank them for choosing Flathead County because they either left a role or they could have chosen another place to go. They could have brought their talents. They could have brought their customer service ethic. They could have brought their hard work, their experiences anywhere. And you guys, everybody out here in the community would have snatched them up in a second. And the fact that they chose Flathead County means a lot to us.
You know, I was in New York. One of the things I learned very quickly is that people didn't work for a company for 25 years and get a watch. At the end of it, that you were pretty much expected to, if you were any good at your job, you were supposed to be out there networking and you were supposed to be looking. And you would go in and say, look, I've got another job offer. And they would, if they wanted to, they would meet that offer or beat that offer. But in most companies now, if you don't come to them with about every 2 years and say, hey, I've got another job offer, they wonder why they need you anymore. And they start looking to replace you.
Oh, that's a fact. And in even with that mentality, we can't raise someone wages if they can't negotiate their wage. There's a structure to wages. So
you got to come up with something else that makes people want to stay here.
That's right.
Now, we had a survey on the air a while back that said more than money, people appreciate recognition for a job well done. Is that a part of the component, too?
Absolutely. I made sure that every employee who celebrated an employment milestone 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years is recognized by an elected official or a county commissioner. Uh-huh. And anything above 20, they get to go into the chambers and meet and get to say some remarks. We take some photos. We post on social media. We're very good. We hired a PIO, you remember Kim, I think you've met Tanith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not only are we telling our story externally, we're telling it internally. We're recognizing people and the hard work that they do inside the county. Public servants aren't often thanked. I mean, you know.
That's true.
And I know what they do. I get to see the entire organization from above, and I see the hard work that they do. I see what they put up with. I see that the extra mile that they go to ensure that the public gets what they need, and that should be recognized. And hopefully, our workforce is seeing that.
Yeah, I think most people really have no contact with the county until they go to renew their car license or get a title transfer or something like that.
Well.
And that's where, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Well, it's funny you mention that because what I tell all the new employees that you're doing purposeful work. Everybody in this county at some point has a touch point with the county from cradle to grave, whether mm-hmm. it's your birth certificate, to your car, to your property, to your taxes, to how your kids get to school, how you get to work, driving on a road, if you need public safety, if you call 911, all of these are county functions. And all of them are meaningful, purposeful work. Not everybody gets a chance to do that. I think that's quite remarkable.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, congratulations on that. That's pretty cool. Runner-up, maybe next year somebody else will be the runner-up to you guys.
Well, thank you. And one thing I want to say about this award is it was nominated by the employees. We had no idea. Oh. And I asked, it was from the Department of Labor, and I asked the Department of Labor, is this a gimme award? What is this? And they said, absolutely not. There was about 150 to 200 other applicants. We redact the name of the organization, and it goes before a panel. They have no idea who they're voting on, and the panel chose you guys. This is the first award for the county. Wow. It's pretty fantastic. Remarkable.
So they don't know who they're voting for. They just know about what's going on?
That's right. So an employee nominated us, wrote a nice write-up, award nomination. Two employees did, separate employees. And then the organization goes and looks at our records.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We've got Pete Melnick with us, and Pete has become an expert in something we had really never heard of before, septage. let's get to the expert's point of view after this.
You look around Columbia Falls, the stunning mountains, crystal clear lakes, beautiful valleys, and litter? Spring has revealed the need for caring people to tidy up our town. This is Caleb Bauman with Glacier Bank, member FDIC, hoping you'll help us clean the falls April 27th. Meet at Glacier Bank, 822 Nucleus Avenue at 9 a.m. Students, clubs, service organizations, moms, dads, kids, and grandparents, everyone who cares about our community is welcome to help. After picking up the trash left behind this winter, lunch will be served by the Columbia Falls Lions Club and fantastic prizes will be awarded. It will be a great day, one Glacier Bank is proud to be a part of. Questions? Come by Glacier Bank in Columbia Falls or call us at 406-751-4767. Thanks to you, our town will shine again.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
Today we're talking with our Flathead County Administrator, Pete Melnick, and it wasn't that long ago when the former health officer, Joe Russell, introduced the term septage. And now it seems to be a household word around the county.
I would say you're right. Everyone's talking about it.
Well, first of all, what is this stuff?
Okay, so
Let's settle that.
So everyone that is not connected to any sort of municipal water or sewer system generally has a septic tank in their backyard. And after years of use, those septic tanks need to be cleaned out. They fill up. Mm-hmm. And currently, the way you clean it is you call a company, and a company will come out with a big truck and they'll stick a hose down into that tank and drain all the sludge that has accumulated over the years out of it and dispose of it. And that's the trick. How do you dispose of that sludge? And this is the problem that the county is trying to fix.
So what have we been doing for the last 150 years?
Yeah, and this may seem unusual to listeners who haven't heard this before, but this is perfectly legal. It's perfectly approved under the DEQ, and it's a process used not only over the country, but over the world. But right now in Flathead County, those trucks that is filled with that septic sludge, they go out to a farmer's field where they have an agreement and they inject it into the ground. Again, perfectly legal, perfectly normal, and it's a way to get rid of it. But the trouble is that ground is going away, as everyone knows, or the ground that exists is getting encroached by neighbors and they don't like it. And I think, and Flathead County Commissioners think and agree, that we can do it better.
Well, the problem is we're running out of land to put it on, and number two, it doesn't smell very good.
It doesn't, and it's unpleasant, and it just seems like in the 21st century we can find a better solution, and we have partnered with the Lakeside Water and Sewer District, and we are on our way to finding that good solution.
So tell us about how this partnership is going to work.
Yeah, this is kind of new. We were looking at building our own facility. We had hired a company to look at the feasibility of that. And what we found out is that it's not that feasible. So we pivoted away from that plan. And this is again, going back to our award, our HR, our people award. One of the members of the staff came up with a great idea. And we evaluated and said, this is worthwhile. And Lakeside was already building some infrastructure to handle future growth, and we thought, why not ask them to build it? And they agreed. So Lakeside Water and Sewer District is receiving the funds in a grant form. It's about $20 million, and they are going to build a facility that handles all the septic sludge in the county. There's, 60,000, septic tanks, they think, in Flathead County, maybe even more.
60,000?
Something like that, yes.
Wow. That's twice as many as I thought.
Yeah, and they're going to take that sludge and they're going to mechanically separate the water from the sludge and dry that sludge and send it over to the landfill. Turns it into like an earth or a dirt.
Okay.
Now we were going to work with them, and they were going to take care of the water and we were going to take care of the sludge.
Now they're doing both,
okay,
which is a win-win. I mean, those are the folks that know how to do this, right? They have engineers, they have people in that space. This is not a county level of expertise. We weren't necessarily looking to get into create a utility. So partnering with someone who's got experience in this space, has the expertise, that's the, that's, to me, is a win-win for the county and for Lakeside and for all the county residents who have a septic tank.
Okay, now I have a friend who's retired from the business now, but he was in that pumping business, and he said it smells like money to me. So, but anyway, the idea is that the haulers would take it to a location right off Highway 93, a ways off the highway, and it would just be a vault or something that where it was taken on from there.
Yeah, so the science behind it is that sludge, it's still got a moisture content to
right.
it. So it goes into some sort of, they call it a sequencing batch reactor, and it separates the sludge from the water. The actual solids are fairly easy to dispose of. The water's the trick. The water is what everyone's concerned because it could have pathogens in it and all that kind of stuff. So that water needs to be treated, needs to be cleaned, sterilized before it is disposed of. And again, Lakeside has that expertise. They're going to handle both of those systems for us.
So what kind of a time frame are we looking at here?
We have some definite time frames. They're already designing the system. The way we structure the agreement is they have milestones to meet, and when they meet those milestones, they'll get that money. So we're hoping this thing is turnkey operational in the next year and a half, 2 years.
Well, that'll be just about in the nick of time.
That's what I say. You know, and it's not just the septic, it's the porta potties as well. So this will take porta potty waste for all the events that take place, you know, the events downtown Kalispell, the concerts that take place, all that stuff needs to be cleaned.
All right, so that's the story of septage.
Yeah, we're very happy that this is. It's been a journey.
Yeah,
but I think the light's at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully, that light isn't a train, but you know, with the light's at the end of the tunnel there.
Okay, so the next thing on our radar is the Big Fork Bridge. Boy, that's just causing all kinds of problems in Big Fork. Solutions? Well, they're not easy to find, but we're going to tell you where we stand right after this.
Do looks matter? In this case, yes. You're here with Cambria Ulrich for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. If you take pride in the way our town looks, and we have a feeling you do, you'll help clean the fish April 27th. Caring locals gather at Glacier Bank, 319 East 2nd Street at 8:30 a.m. Coffee, juice, and breakfast in the parking lot, then out into nearby neighborhoods to tidy things up. Trash bags, gloves, and reflective vests will be provided. Back at the bank, lunch is served at 11:30. High fives and big thanks for all your hard work, plus prizes. A $100 gift card for adults and two bikes in different sizes for kids. Glacier Bank appreciates you being there, for cleaning the fish, and for taking pride in our community. The way our town looks makes a difference. What truly matters? Your caring.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Our conversation today with Pete Melnick, Flathead County Administrator. We're turning our attention on the Big Fork Bridge, or lack thereof. And I think the last word that we saw from the Department of Transportation, no, they can't open just a pedestrian walkway either. So things are at a standstill. Where do we stand?
Well, you know, it's difficult. And that is the county commissioners, I know the state, do recognize how important that bridge is to the community of Big Fork, what it means to the businesses down there, what it means for public safety. But there was an engineering study that was conducted on that bridge, and they basically said zero load rating, zero tons.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. Not even like a pound, right? Yeah. Zero. Nothing can go on that. That's the state of that bridge. And we looked at a lot of options to try to just get a pedestrian. We looked at something that would float through the center of that bridge, but there's no way to get it across because you put load on the bridge. And it's not an easy process to just make something pedestrian friendly that's in that level of condition.
A gondola.
Yeah.
But everything, has cost and time.
Yeah, we get all sorts of ideas. Just do this, just do that. Someone built a bridge in a different country, and they just, the army did it, and all this kind of stuff. There are numerous problems with that. You have you have power lines that span across it. You have, if you disturb the soil, there's 40 or 50 years of toxins in that soil. Yeah. You don't want that washing into Flathead Lake, right?
Yeah.
There's a 9-inch active gas line that spans underneath that bridge that feeds 800 homes south of Big Fork. 9-inch, not a gas line the size of your thumb, right? 9 inches, it feeds 800. There's no way to replace that line if it breaks or is faulty. If it does break, you're evacuating the town of Big Fork. So, this is something that has to be thoughtful. This has to be contemplated, and we really need to make sure we do this right. We can't just solve it like that. This isn't just a easy bridge to solve.
So is there a research or something going on at this stage?
Yeah, so the state partnered with us in the county, and we looked at about 15 options to create a pedestrian solution. And the state even gave us a little bit of money to not only conduct the study, but potentially to purchase and supply that option for a pedestrian bridge. And that's where our level is. It isn't with the actual bridge replacement.
Yeah.
We looked at all of those options. I think the cheapest was about $750,000 to build. We needed to hire an engineer firm to help us figure out how we would implement that solution. We couldn't get an engineering firm to take the work on. It was too high risk. You know what I mean? So this isn't just, government's not doing their job. There's a lot of issues that have to be managed, and we have to do it right, because this is zero tolerance. You can't mess this up. If you mess it up, it could be devastating. So, we're being thoughtful, we're being rigorous in our analysis, and we're defaulting to a posture that would protect the public at large.
Kind of sounds like the temporary fix maybe take longer to effect than just rebuilding the bridge.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, MDT is working double time to try to find a solution. And the community wants a truss style bridge. They can't find a whole lot of manufacturers that make those anymore, so they're working on that. And we looked at the temporary solution. A pedestrian solution could take upwards of a year and a half. It definitely wouldn't be in place by May, and by the time you get it built, you do the ribbon cutting, and then the bulldozers would be right behind it to take it out, right?
So there's no option of a pedestrian bridge that is standalone away from where the current bridge is.
The one option that looked the most attractive was a bridge within a bridge. So you could maybe fish something through the bridge that they could walk on. We also looked at reinforcing the existing bridge just for a pedestrian. And an engineer wouldn't touch it. Nobody would put their stamp on that level of work because of the zero load rating. But we looked at the fish, fishing a bridge in there, and you have to put a load to get the bridge in. You can't crane it in because of the truss and the power lines.
And no load.
That's right, no load.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you couldn't put rollers in or anything like that. Because of that load rating analysis that says zero, and because of the condition, they can go under it. It's not pleasant. The safest, most prudent thing to do, and it's unfortunately not the best news, is to let the process play out, build a bridge right.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And protect the
river. That's over 100 years old, right?
It is, yes.
Protect the river from any contaminants that might be in the soil.
That's right. Protect the river from the contaminants, protect that gas line. Yeah. I know Northwestern Energy, wonderful company, outstanding. We have nothing but a great relationship with them. They're looking at burrowing under the river. They would prefer to bury that line and not hang it from a bridge. But that takes a lot of engineering and work and time,
they're going to have to disturb the stream bed to do it.
Well, they could go under without doing that, but they'll have to study that, right?
Yeah.
And make sure that they don't disturb it. And they need quite a long, I don't know what the right term is, but runway to do that, because they have to go down and under and then back up. You can't just put a big kink in a pipe.
And is that location even conducive to that? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's where the... It's not, I guess, that the female wide end is, and that's where you would plug in to get those 800 homes. So,
wow. Congressman Ryan Zinke visited the 911 call center yesterday.
Yes.
Tell us about what he's going to do with that money.
Congressman Zinke's so fun. I mean, he's just such I love being around him. He's so full of energy. He worked hard about a year and a half ago. His staff reached out and said, hey, I'm on this appropriations team, and I get to kind of direct some funds to Northwest Montana. What do you got? What do you need? And we said, hey, we got a couple projects here that might be interesting. And one of them was these new radios and tower type system for the our 911 system. So he worked hard. He delivered that money, about $1.3 million. And we're off to the races. We haven't seen the money yet. We got a big giant cardboard check. He said, don't cash that. But as soon as it comes in, we have a team ready to go to install those systems and make our 911 system even better, more resilient.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
As always, a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks,
an awful
Pete.
Lot of information.
Thank
Pete
you, John. Thank you,
so much. It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping it connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.